Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the passage we read together, and particularly to that very well-known verse, number 6, and part of that which we're going to look at this evening with regards to our preparation for the table of the Lord. And it's our practice normally to look at those things that Jesus has done for us when he came here, not delving particularly into his work upon the cross, but taking other aspects of what he has done, what he did when he came in flesh to be amongst men and to benefit us by his presence as our kinsman redeemer. And of course you'll know that as that he has three particular offices which he fulfills, and one of them is the office of a prophet. In other words, he teaches us to know and understand both who we are and particularly who God is and the will of God for our salvation. He teaches us the truth, and that's one of the things he makes clear here in this verse. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's particularly that aspect of Christ as the truth that I want us to take a little time to think upon today. Jesus truly shows to us something of the reality of all things, and particularly who God is. It's one of the things that comes out in this passage abundantly, that if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Therefore, Philip, when he says, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, and he says, Philip, have I been so long with you? Have you still not understood? In all the time you've seen me, in all the things you've heard from me, in everything you've witnessed, in other words, if you believe me not just for my words, think of the works' sake, and think of what I've done. And do these not display to you something of the glory of the Father? Now, of course, to be a believer, to truly know and love the Lord, it's described in many ways in the Bible, in the Old Testament, particularly in certain portions, the wisdom portions, would often be seen as the fear of the Lord, or the knowledge of wisdom. Those who are wise, who have come to the point where they understand now what they never knew before. You know, all of us, when we came into a church for the first time, whenever that was in our experience, for some of you, you can't remember when that time was. You've been brought to church since you were tiny. In fact, while you were still in your mother's womb, you were being carried into the worship of God, and there in the midst of God's people, you were hearing the word. They now do show that the things that are heard in utero have an effect upon people. The children within the womb respond to what's going on. You remember the very wonderful aspect of what John the Baptist did when Mary came into the presence of his mother. Both of them were still in utero, John the Baptist and Jesus. And John the Baptist rejoiced. You know, there are things you come to know and hear from the earliest moments, and if that's been your privilege, never underestimate it. Not everybody gets that. Some of us were raised under the sound of falsehood and blasphemy and Romanism. So be grateful if you've had the sound of the gospel from your earliest years, or if perhaps you've come along and it's later on in life. You never really were in the habit of going to church, but the Lord just started to work in your heart and you found yourself brought along, and more you suddenly start to realize things that you never realized before. Things start to make sense. You understand things. Is this because you are growing intellectually? Possibly. But the truth is, it's not a physical, it's not a natural thing. It's the work of the Spirit of God within our hearts, teaching us and enabling us to understand what otherwise, even if we'd been brought up from that very earliest time in our life, under the sound of the gospel until the moment the Spirit of God starts to work in our hearts and minds, all of it's just a mystery. And sometimes that veil is taken away very early in life. Often it seems to happen in teenage years for those who are raised in Christian homes. Their inquiring minds are taken by the Spirit of God, and as they're looking and they're seeing the different things that are going on, it seems to be often around that time young folks are challenged and by God's Spirit changed. But it can be any time in life. And whether it's early in life or whether it's later, the one who will reveal God to you is Jesus Christ through the Spirit. That was true in the Old Testament, that's true in the New Testament. And therefore, you see, we never really come to understand or know God unless we come to know him through Jesus Christ. Whether it be as he was promised and prophesied way back in the Old Testament, or as he was revealed in the days of his flesh when he came according to the promises, according to the prophecies, and revealed that which we could never have known otherwise. Sometimes, and it can often become an issue of contention for some young folks, they're very like their parents. In fact, they don't like it to be commented upon after a while. Has that ever happened to you, or perhaps to one of the ones? It's one of those things. You know, some well-meaning old lady comes up and grabs the cheek and says, "Well, you're just like your daddy." And they're probably telling the truth. You probably are. If I'd never met your daddy, if I'd just seen you. In fact, I just saw a young lady the other day, daughter of one of our ministers. She was out someplace, and somebody looked at her and said, "You don't need to tell me whose daughter you are." They could tell just by looking at her. You see, there was a similarity. There was something about her that made her so like her daddy, in this case, that they knew exactly who it was. And they were right. And Jesus is the one who perfectly and fully and entirely enables us to know the Father. That's made clear in Hebrews. It's made clear really from Genesis right through to Revelation. That he's the one who unfolds to us and shows us the truth, the reality of who God really is. While men and women make up their ideas and their imaginations of what they think God would be like, Jesus shows us the truth with regards to who God really is. Now Jesus here, he says, "I am the truth." And that, amongst other things, involves the fact that he is absolute truth. That he's the one who personifies and encapsulates all that is true. In him, all truth is manifested and is set forth. In everything he says and everything he does, nothing is ever tainted with even the merest shadow of anything other than perfect truth. You remember in chapter 18, in verse number 38 there, Christ is before Pilate. And Pilate was a very worldly wise man. If you wanted a politician, he knew how to do politics. He knew how to get the group with him. He knew how to work the crowd. He knew how to get what was to his advantage. And for a while he managed to do reasonably well on it, though eventually it caught up with him, if you read your history. But Pilate, at one point, when he had Jesus Christ, the one who is truth incarnate, in front of him, he could not see and understand what was happening. And therefore, he turned and said to the truth. Pilate saith unto Jesus, unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. He didn't know the truth himself, but he was facing the one who is the truth. And was so blind he could not see the sun at noonday, so ignorant he could not see the truth before him. And Jesus Christ is the one who reveals to us truth in all its purity and profundity. You know, sometimes when we're young, we say, well, I wish somebody just let me know what's it all about. In fact, let me let you into a secret. Often when we're getting older, we're wondering the same thing sometimes. If you want to know the truth, look at Jesus. That's where you'll understand things in a way you never will anywhere else. He's the truth. And he's the one that before he even came into the world, he was the one who asked the wisdom there with the Father from the beginning, was showing forth all that is true of God. You know, when we go to I've never been to one, but I believe in all the courtroom dramas I've ever seen, they always ask you, will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's what Jesus is. He's the truth. Everything about him is that which leads us into all that is true. The reality is that here in this world, which is so marked by shadow and confusion and misunderstanding, we're often, even when we hear what others say, we misunderstand what they mean. Even when we see what they do, we misconstrue their actions. We never get things quite right, partly for the ignorance in ourselves and partly because of the inability of individuals to put forward all that is right and true. But the Lord Jesus Christ always, when he spoke the truth. In fact, it was so remarkably clear that even his enemies, although they hated it, could not deny when he spoke the truth. Do you remember that incident when they were trying to trap him, one with this and one with another, and he said, well, show me your penny. So they took up a little denarius and they showed him it. He says, who's the picture? In superscript, oh, that's Caesar's. Well, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And suddenly they thought, this man, he understands both what we're asking and he answers that question and he does it truly. And what's more, he goes way beyond that to answer and to show us all that we need to know. And you see, Jesus Christ came so that we would not be left in darkness, so that we would understand through him all that we otherwise would never have been able to fathom. Jesus is the absolute opposite of Satan. Remember when the Pharisees and others are trying, as they often did, to put down Christ and to exalt themselves and so on, Jesus turned to them and he said to them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." None. And Jesus is the one in whom there is no darkness, no lie, no falsehood, no shadow or variableness or anything even remotely tangential to that which is the absolute truth. That's Jesus. He's the whole truth. He tells you all you could ever know or understand about God, and without him you couldn't understand any of it. And he tells us all that we would ever want to know, and throughout time he will tell us what we need to know, and in eternity he will unfold to us things we never could have known this side of eternity. Throughout eternity he'll be unfolding to us the glory of the Father, the wonder of the triune God, so that there will always be more to know and always more to discover and always more to rejoice in and revel in. You know, young ones, often your friends and that say to you, "You know, you've missed out on so much." They're the ones that are missing out. You see, without Christ, they don't understand things as they ought to. Without Christ, they can't make sense of their life or the lives of others. And you, through the gospel and through Christ, have one who can teach you all things, to understand them. In John chapter 1, there where Jesus is spoken of in that wonderful way as he starts to open up the one who had come, the one who in the beginning was the Word and was with God, and the Word who was God, and so on. It says, "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." You preachers, he's exegeted them. He has unpacked, as they say in the hermeneutical environment. He's unpacked the truth of God so that we can see and understand it. You know what you do when you unpack? You take things that are all in there, stuck together, and you bring them out to see them and to use them and to benefit yourself from them. Well, they're packed away. Well, they're there and they're true, but until they're opened up to you, you can't use them. You can't benefit from them. Christ shows to us and applies to us the glory of who the Father is. And he does that with such perfection that he tells us nothing but the truth. He doesn't mislead you or teach error. He doesn't lead you into idolatry or cause you to misunderstand things. That's why we don't have statues in our churches. We don't have icons. We don't have pictures and so on. Because they would just be the impressions, the ideas of men. And they would tell you things which would be true about what the person thought, but they're not necessarily true about who the Lord is. And so we say, you don't do that. But if you say to the Lord, "Lord, help me to understand you. Help me as I come to the Word to understand what's being said here. Uncover to my mind those things that at the moment they just seem to be passing strange. Help me to understand." You know what he'll do? He will do so. Bit by bit. Step by step. Helping you to see more and more of the glory of God and his grace in the gospel of Christ. Christ is the truth. the whole truth and nothing but the truth. While other things try to talk about God and other people would lead you away from God with their false ideas, Jesus will always direct you to that which is true. He is therefore absolute truth, but also he helps you to understand divine truth, to understand God, who he is, and to do so individually. First of all, Christ is the truth, is the one who helps us to understand that God is personal. He's not just an impersonal force. You know that some people say, well, I believe in a higher power. I believe in a supreme being. I believe in something bigger than myself, bigger than everything else, bigger than everyone. Well, that's good. But the devil has better theology than that and can go beyond you in all of those points. Jesus helps you to understand that God is not just a higher power. He is personal. And to understand that it's not just some great force that you're tapping into, like the sort of Star Wars things, you know, to get in touch with the force. It's not that. God is personal. And when you come to know Jesus, you come to know that God is personal. That he's not just a higher power. He is the God of all grace and mercy. You suddenly realize that he's in relationship, first of all, with Father, Son, and Spirit. The three persons within the Godhead. You suddenly realize God is related or in relational relations to one and to the other. There is that relationship within the Godhead. Suddenly you realize God isn't just some big supercomputer. It's not just some big, huge fount of all knowledge. God deals in relationship with people. And when God speaks to you in the gospel through Jesus and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When God says that he will reveal his glory to you, he does that in relation to you as an individual. He doesn't just treat you like an unidentified face in the crowd. Deals with you individually. And we understand that aspect of God most powerfully and particularly in Jesus Christ. Because as you come to know Jesus Christ, you realize, here is one who knows me, who loves me, who cares for me. And he shows you that in a most perfect way. Oh, he's the truth. And he shows you the truth about God. That God isn't just one who knows everything. He knows you. And if you come to him through Jesus Christ, the one who is the way to the Father, you will be in fellowship. And you will have life. Abundant, because he's the life as well. You see, Jesus is the one who shows us who God is with regards to relationship, but also that as well as not just being some sort of unmoved mover of the philosophers, he is the one who understands. You see, you can Google just about anything you want nowadays, and you'll find the answers to your questions there. You can take your questions to whatever it is, ask Jeeves or whatever these various things are. And they'll give you an answer of sorts. Some will be right, some will be maybe a bit very wrong. But what you'll do is you will be looking for answers, but you won't always know the level of the understanding of the one who's behind those answers, the ones who have put together the algorithms to answer whatever comes out, spat out on your screen when you get it. God knows you and understands you perfectly. And he understands the truth perfectly with regards to you. And God not only is the fount of all knowledge, he is the one who tells us that we are to, with all our getting, get understanding. Because he, as the one who understands us perfectly, is the one who knows absolutely what makes you tick. And Jesus is the one who asks the truth, knows you perfectly. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what drives you, even when you don't always understand it. He knows why you do what you do. And he understands why you don't do some of the things you should do. And also he understands what it means and what it requires for you to change to be all that you should be. Where are you to find all of that understanding? How are you to be all that you should be? How are you to know and understand things correctly and rightly? Through Jesus Christ, the one who is the truth. If you go back into the Old Testament, particularly the wisdom books, that's one of the things that's always being drawn out, the idea of a need to understand. And it's only those who know God who understand things aright. You'll only understand things properly when you understand them through Christ. God is personal. God is powerful. He's the one who can do all things, doing what man can't and undoing what man has. And Jesus is the one who tells you the truth about that. You know, it almost doesn't matter what you listen to today on radio or whatever. Whenever they talk about God, they get it wrong. There are a few noble exceptions. But generally speaking, whatever the general conversation that's going on, whether it's in a news environment, whether it's a sporting environment, whether it's comedy or whether it's drama, people talk about God, they always seem to think of him as limited, and to misunderstand the greatness of God's power and who he is. But when you come to know Christ, when you meet the one who is the truth, you suddenly start to understand that God is all powerful. And Jesus reveals this and does so. He makes it quite clear even in the passage that we were reading together there in John 14, and he does so elsewhere. Father can do all things. And he is patient. He's been more patient with you and I than we deserve. He knows just what we're like. Even the bits you're able to hide from others. Even the bits you'd be appalled if anyone else knew about you. And yet is patient with you. He knows you when you resist him. And when you try to flee from him. Jesus Christ, the one who is the truth, shows you God in his purity, in the greatness of his relationship to others, his personality and his power, but he also shows us it in his purity. He never tells you or asks you to do anything that's wrong. You know, it's one of the great fears that those of us who are parents have. Peer pressure. You all hear about it. It's got different ways that it comes to push itself into and insidiously bring its forces into the realm of, particularly, I think, those of you who are teenagers, you have my undying respect because you are trying to face difficulties I never had to face when I was younger. There are things going on now that are awful. And there are people saying, do this, do that. I'm your friend. You can trust me. And they're lying. They say no one else will know, and they're lying because they know that if you do it on the internet, it's there forever and you can't get it away, though you use bleach bit or whatever. It'll always come back and bite you. Jesus never tells you to do what's wrong, never encourages you in a way that would be damaging or dangerous to you. Ultimately, he's the truth. And this is the one that came to speak to men and women, boys and girls, and say, follow me. And he is not only absolute truth, divine truth, he is saving truth. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you know him in truth, and the truth that is in him, it will set you free. Your life will be entirely different. Though you'll be the same person you were before, you will look the same pretty much. Hopefully there's a bigger smile on your face. But there'll be a growing awareness of things that are wrong. So from time to time, you'll look a little down when you realise there are still things to improve. But he's the one who, as he reveals to us truth in a saving way, so he changes us and enables us to see the glory of God in the changing of our lives. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I wonder whether you're young or old tonight, have any of you come here and you still don't know Jesus as the truth? Because if you do, he's the only one who can set you free, and if you don't, no one else can do it for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who asks the truth, tells you all that you need to know, the will of God for your salvation, and unfolds it in a manner that you can understand. So that things that before were hidden suddenly start to clarify in your thinking. If you say, I find things difficult, go to Jesus. And say, Lord Jesus, the Bible tells me you're the truth. Show me thyself. Open to me the understanding of what I need to know to truly trust in you. See, the truth that sets us free, that saving truth, he's the one who convinces us of the truth. He sends the Spirit that was spoken of there in chapter 14 to teach us and to bring to our remembrance what we knew before and to help us understand things in a way we didn't before. He did that with the disciples. He had to do it for them. He has to do it for you and me too. For he's the truth. And it's as he starts to work in your life and mine that we start to see things more clearly and understand things more perfectly and accurately. Because he came as the truth. The truth that is absolute, divine, and saving. And the thing about this truth is, the more you know him, the more you're conformed to him. The more you think upon Christ and spend time with him. Have you ever noticed you become like those you spend time with? Now that can be a good thing sometimes, and that can be a very bad thing sometimes. If you spend your time with rogues, my friend, it will show on your face. It will show in your actions. It will show in everything that makes you who you are. You spend time with Jesus, it will show. You get down next to your bed and open your Bible and say, Lord Jesus, show me thyself through the word. Help me to understand the gospel. Help me to understand myself and my need of the gospel. He will. And what's more, as he does, and as you get to know him and you say, Lord Jesus, help me to understand you. Help me to know you, for you're the truth. Don't just teach me about other things and other people, and even about myself. Teach me about thee, for thou art the truth. Lord, show me thyself. The more he shows you himself, the more you'll start to become like him. And the more you know him, the more you're conformed to him, the more the truth sanctifies, makes you holy. That's why the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And who is the epitome? Who is the absolute truth? Jesus. The more we know his word, and he is the living word, the more we walk in holiness and righteousness. Jesus said, I am the truth. Lots of others have claimed that, but only he does. Only he is. And I want to ask you tonight, when you go out tonight, who will you be following? What will you be taught? Will it be your own ways, your own heart, your neighbors, your friends, your TV, your computer, or will it be the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if it is, my friend, if you're following him, if you're walking with him, then do so day by day. And do so continually. For he will never lead you astray. He will always lead you into all truth. Because he is the truth. And as you follow him in everything he says to you. Believe in your heart. Confess with your lips. Show forth continually that the truth, Jesus Christ, is at the center of your life. By his grace and by his power, do it this night and every night. And he alone, will enable you to do so as you trust in him. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray.